This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Property Show, presented by boomboom.co for millennials.
Good morning. You're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run, our weekly take on everything property related. Khazanah Research Institute has recently published a report entitled Rethinking Housing Between State, Market and Society. This report examines the policy environment of the housing sector in pursuit of policies that matters to homeowners, property developers and contractors, financial institutions and government agencies. In this two-part series, we will be discussing on the subject of affordable housing, supply and demand mismatch, the standard benchmark of an affordable home, as well as the option of renting as a solution for our housing woes. Today, I speak to Dr. Suraya Ismail, the lead author of this report, as well as the director of research at the Khazanah Research Institute. Dr. Suraya Ismail, thank you for being on The Property Show.
Thank you for having me. Thanks.
So, to begin this discussion, could you share with us what is the primary objective of this report?
Thank you. So we did this report to understand the key challenges in the Malaysian housing sector, also to understand what are the solutions that we could come out in order to circumvent the challenges that we face in the housing sector. In order to do that, we also need to have benchmarks and best practices. We look around the world and we tweak certain policies that exist around the world on how best to then address our structural problems in the housing sector. Once we understand the problem and some of the solution, we will then hopefully come up with some policies, strategies and action plans for what needs to be done by both the government, the firms, as well as civil society.
So your report highlights the different players in the affordable housing ecosystem, which is the government, the developer, as well as the public. How does the report describe the role of these different stakeholders?
The thing about housing is that it means different things to different agencies of the government, society. Some people keep houses as shelter. Mm-hmm. Some people want to use it as an accumulation of asset. And for firms, some people want to be part of the social sector provision, which is for the lowest B20 type of household. So they want to have like a joint ownership of social housing. So there are some very aspirational house developers out there. But there are also housing developers that would like to make some degree of profit. I mean, this is a very interesting...
It's a business at the end of the day.
It's a business at the end of the day. But what we don't want is a short change of, say, for example, society, when the businesses want to make too much profit, that it then circumvent the society from buying a house that they can afford. Yeah. And what is the role of government? Should they be in the market? Should they be providing housing to the market, or should they concentrate on just the social sector, which is BBR and those sort of housing that for people who exemplify some sort of housing, core housing need. So what is the role of government in terms of providing housing? Should they provide housing, or should they then just play that role of regulator, meaning they create a competitive operating environment for the firms? Now, what is the role of the public? The public must understand the choices they have. Should they own a house or should they rent a house? But in terms of the data that's available for the general public, it's not very clear that they can make that informed choices. So if you, for example, you want to rent a house in Johor Bahru in 5 years' time, you want to know what would you get with, say, 1,200 RM a month. You don't know this. So part of this study is also to address that when every party in this ecosystem have enough data, accurate data, they can plan for themselves, be it society, be it firms, be it government.
And how do all these stakeholders relate to each other?
we proposed a research framework whereby we wanted to explain that some of the problems you witness in the property market can be divided into two problems. One is basically a problem of market failure. This is when there is a mismatch of supply and demand. Effective demand, meaning demand that could back by finance, mm-hmm. meaning these are eligible people who can then get finance to finance their houses. But there's also the other sector, what we call the welfare sector or the social sector, whereby they have a housing need, but they can't pay for it. So we have to at least determine one is the social sector and one is the market sector. In the social sector, who should be in it? So even for society, who should be in it? So for example, if we want to target housing assistance for the social sector, we must ensure that we have reached the right target, reached the right target group. So in Kuala Lumpur, for example, is it 20% of population? Is it 30% of population? We don't have the exact figure.
Yeah.
So this is the reason why we wanted to ensure that government funding goes to making sure people, household, can own or rent a house in the social sector when there's a deficit in terms of they can't rent, they can't pay for it.
Okay.
So, but at the same time, having these two sectors, we must also understand that it must be done at the right spatial scale, because based on our research, if you go for, I think, chapter 5 or 4, it's about 7 chapters there, we saw that certain cities behave in a sprawl manner. So, for example, Kuala Lumpur, I mean, some people stay in Seremban and have a wage of Kuala Lumpur. So, therefore, the market in Seremban has been distorted by the pricing of people who earn in KL.
Okay, what is the reason for this distortion? Is it because they are able to pay more?
They are able to pay more, yes.
Okay.
But at the same time, you then discourage people in Seremban to buy the houses there, because now their income is not as high as KL, but their prices are distorted by the people from KL. So KL city is behaving that way. Georgetown is behaving that way. The only city that seems to be still condensed now, not sprawl, is Johor Bahru.
Okay, so people
safe.
That work there, they live there.
Yes.
Your report, it captures the widening disparity between household income versus house prices. And, you know, this worsened between the years of 2012 and 2014, where the gap started to widen. Now, what were some of the gaps in governance that you have identified in your research which led to this event?
One of the main findings that we found out was that there wasn't a proper targeting of what people can afford to buy. So some of the issues were more on ensuring that people could have access to finance when actually the house prices was too expensive for them to buy. So rather than ensuring that houses are supplied at an affordable prices, a lot of the prices remain high, and yet we did ease of credit easing. We wanted that first.
Okay, so this is a result of credit easing, where price remains high for those who can't afford it, but still got the approval to purchase it.
This is something that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the end of the day, we should follow the multiple median tree of house prices.
Okay. Now, on the subject of median multiplier, you know, your report highlighted that the affordable median multiplier is 3 times the annual salary of an individual. Our average has always been a multiplier of 4, and at its highest, it was a multiplier of over 5 times an individual's annual salary. So has there been an honest attempt from the government to supply homes according to the 3 times median level?
The thing about this median multiple tree is that a lot of people are still debating about this median multiple tree.
Mm.
Some say that we should not use this median multiple tree and use other methods of determining affordability. So hence, it has always been higher than 3 because people don't believe that, even industry players.
All right. So what were some of the concerns raised on the 3 times median level multiplier?
Too low. The median multiple tree was too low, because if you look at the residual income method or the housing cost burden method, it would be higher. So that is the multiple that you see now out due to this different method of determining affordability prices. Okay. So, but that's the thing. When you put these sort of prices, then you have overhang or properties that are not being sold. So the market, if you talk about the market, the free market, the market, meaning the demand, the people have mentioned or have stated their views through the unmet supply, meaning they don't want to buy these products.
Yeah.
So to say that the median multiple three is wrong, I think the market has mentioned has stated out there that if you have this sort of unaffordability, five or four, they will not buy, and therefore we have the glut. So whichever way you want to think about this, most countries use median multiple three, and the reason why we are still at the 5.1 or 4.1 type of severely unaffordable housing is because some people do not want to follow this determination of affordability threshold.
So can we now look forward to homes that are priced at this affordable median level?
Yes. And interestingly, what is fantastic about the current method of doing policies that the government, I mean, to my understanding, is going to set up this big data type of database whereby they will even look at the household income at the mukim level, neighborhood level, and then they would then say that houses that will be coming into that mukim must not surpass the median multiple three. Okay. So they're going to that granularity now. So they are very keen to ensure that the supply sector, the house prices that comes in, follows the wages of household in that mukim. So if that mukim, the house, the median wage is about, or median household income is about 5,000. Mm. So 5 times 12 is 60.
Sure.
60 times 3 is 180,000. So the government is keen to ensure that all the supply that goes into that mukim will be for those that's residing there, working there. So they're going to do that. So I'm quite hopeful.
Okay, we'll have more on the property show after these messages. Stay tuned on BFM 89.9.
The Property Show, presented by Boomboom.co for Millennials.
If you have just joined us, this is The Property Show. I'm Sharitz Abdullah, and I'm speaking to Dr. Suraya Ismail, the Director of Research at Khazana Research Institute. Okay, so now the government is looking to intervene in the setting of home prices at the policy level. How do you think this will impact the property development sector? Do you think that this will disrupt the free market principle?
You see, that's the thing. Even if you go to the free market, there is a glut now, but house prices have not gone down. Mm. So sometimes I also wonder how the free market works.
Sure.
Because surely when people are not buying, house prices should go down. Now, this leads me, I like your question, this leads me to the question of price discovery. Mm. How do you ensure, how do you price a house in the open market? One of the ways that has been mentioned in our report is the sales comparison approach. So what they do is that, say, for example, I have a house, at a price of RM200,000. Then I sell it to you in 2 months' time at 250,000. You then sell it to person X for 300,000. That last price fetch will be the signal to a new development that developers would come in with. Now, I wonder whether that sort of price discovery is also not subject to inefficiencies of the market. Because it doesn't appear as if it is something that could... It appears that it could be abused by speculative activities.
Yeah.
So what the government is doing, I think, in partnership with the private sector, is to ensure there's a cost-plus type of pricing. because we do know that when the market was hit with a very high increase in prices back in 2009, that was because there was a policy for my second home, whereby, you know, if it's 1 million and above for KL, expatriates can buy. So a lot of developers jump into that sector, not because of, you know, price discovery or, you know, the cost of their items have gone up. It's just because they wanted to participate in a higher price product. So yes, we can't stop them from doing that, but we can also imagine that, I mean, their profits will not be so much less if we were to have a responsive type of supply that caters for local demand. And this median multiple tree has been used in even cities like Dallas, in a lot of US countries. So don't think that we are doing something regressive here.
You know, since we are speaking about the subject of valuation, recently the MOF has called for more transparency in the valuation process. Is this disruptive to the property sector, and how can it improve the property price?
The answer to both of your questions, is it disruptive? Yes, of course it is. Mm-hmm. Can it help? Yes, I do think it can help. The other thing about the improvement needed about the comparison approach is to incorporate the neighbourhood conditions and the quality of amenities and services, as well as to look at the building condition survey. By the way, before we buy houses nowadays, there's no structural, there's a valuation of the house, but not a building condition survey. This is something that we are also proposing for the industry, that when you have good maintenance, good stock, it will only prosper all of us. So this is not something to deter the flourishing of, say, valuation or quality neighbourhoods, but it's also to give a value to that, and not just because sales, the frequency of transactions, but more on the true value. And there's also an issue, and I know we had that discussion, with MOF, and basically even devaluation for, say, a bank, when you want to purchase a house, as well as the valuation of the person selling the house, there is always a big difference. So this also will need to be reconciled because it can be quite far apart.
Okay, so I guess alternatively, would it be better to intervene at the product level, which is bringing down the price, or would it be better to hand the cash assistance directly to the consumers?
Yes. There's a lot of economic theory about this. Should subsidy go to the direct to the consumers, or should we subsidize the industry so that they become more efficient? The thing is, to my assessment, the industry is not efficient. We are not responding to effective demand. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of market failures. There's a lot of market inefficiencies. So with the existing house prices, which is an outcome of these inefficiencies, you have these really unaffordable prices. So if you give subsidies to consumers, you're basically buffering these prices, and the prices will not come back to what it should be, equilibrium. So before we want to start giving subsidies direct to consumers, you have to settle the inefficiencies of the industry. No monopoly, no cartel, no fixing of prices. Mm. All this needs regulation. I'm not for price control. I'm not for stringent rules on most things. But the part of the government is to instill good governance in the private industry.
Okay, so one final question before we end today's program. Are there developers out there that are already supportive of the idea of developing affordable homes?
Yes. Fortunately, I must say, REHDA has been very keen to be part of this. And I'm sure other housing developers who are not part of REHDA as well can see that a housing property that is not within the reach of local population would only create a lot of problems in future and now. Mm. There's instability, there's frustration,
sure,
anger. So this is why we say it in our book that if we are truly interested to solve this problem, a lot of developers, and society must understand that something's got to give first, because it's been too rapid, the price escalation.
On that note, you have been listening to The Property Show. Next week, we will continue to speak more on the KRI report, specifically on the supply and demand mismatch, the standard benchmark of an affordable home, as well as the option of renting as a solution. Dr. Soraya, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we have the 10 a.m. news bulletin, followed by Enterprise. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
The Property Show, presented by Boomboom.co for millennials. Real estate for real people.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.